Today, Lions out at the practice field. Football in the air. We've got training camp storylines to get to. Greg, take it away.
Let's start. We got six camp storylines for your Detroit Lions. Let's start. Number one, is J-Mo going to fill the shoes of wide receiver two? And who's going to be wide receiver three?
He's absolutely going to have to step up and be wide receiver two. Amon-Ra St. Brown is always going to be, you know, wide receiver one. You've got Sam Laporta, and you could argue that he's going to be wide receiver two, but he's a tight end. He doesn't have that WR in front of his position group. So who is going to be the next guy at that position to fill the void left by Josh Reynolds? It has to be Jameson Williams. You went and you got him at number 12 as a first-round pick. Just for him as a player, at a minimum, he needs to be number two. And you can use him in a number of different ways. We saw in the NFC Championship game in the reverse. Like, his speed is something that is unique in the NFL. In a game that is built on speed, he can be that guy. Now it's about the reliability. Can he be a pass catcher? Can Jared Goff get him the ball? And then number three, I think it's going to have to be DPJ. They didn't go out and bring anybody else in. They thought, hey, this is who we are. This is what we have. You still have Antoine Green. You've got Khalif Raymond. But I think in terms of production, it's going to need to be DPJ.
Last year's leading receiver was Amon-Ra St. Brown with 119 catches. Sam Laporta second with 86. Jahmyr Gibbs third with 52. There wasn't this giant need at the position. I think they were right to stick with J-Mo and expect a big year out of him. He was having a great NFC title game. I think he's poised to have a big year for Detroit. They got to bet on their guy first. He will be wide receiver two,
right,
but maybe target three or four in, sure, this offense, which makes it so he doesn't have to be
the pressure is still
pro.
Not there. The only, yes, pressure is the fact that he was a first round pick and you're not getting great production out of him.
But they're giving him the runway to step into it, and we know he can fly. To answer the question, who's wide receiver number three? Yeah, it's Donovan Peoples-Jones. They said that they like this group. I'm going to take them at their word.
Will Hendon Hooker show enough to be QB2?
They're going to give him a lot of reps. I have to think so. He's going to get a ton of reps in training camp. He should play the majority of the preseason. This is the time to make up for lost time. I think he'll be QB2. It makes me a little nervous, given the expectations of the season, that you have a guy who's never played in the NFL as your backup quarterback. But, John, this gives the Lions something they haven't had in years, a developmental option at the position.
Yeah, and here's the other reason why he certainly is QB2. We've seen the only other quarterback on the roster right now, at least of note, is Nate Sudfeld.
Who's coming off an injury.
Right, he's coming off an injury. We saw the only reason he was still on the roster last year was because he did get hurt.
The timing of it, yeah.
Yeah, and so we saw what you get in Nate Sudfeld. Hendon Hooker, you spent a third-round pick on him. This is the opportunity for him to get practice reps. It's an opportunity to get game reps in the preseason to get himself ready. No one wants to go to their backup quarterback, but if they have to, it's going to be Hendon Hooker.
All right, who will win the kicking competition? Reminder, James Turner now out. Jake Bates was signed by the Lions, so that's kind of where we are at here. Michael Badgley is on the team as well.
And Jake Bates has a very strong leg. We've heard about the 60-plus yarders that he made in the UFL. But I find it very hard to believe, especially knowing special teams coaches. Dave Phipp. These guys like to know exactly what they have. And whether it doesn't always have to be positive. They know exactly what they're getting in Michael Badgley. There's still this great unknown about Jake Bates because other than his kicks in the UFL, he didn't have any. He hasn't had any in the NFL. He didn't have any in college. He's a great kickoff guy. And maybe that, are they going to carry two kickers because they want an extra guy for this new kickoff rule? I think that's
silly.
A stretch at best.
Yeah, it's silly. They didn't carry a kicker last season. Right. They used practice squad elevations to get a kicker for game day, and it was Patterson, and then it was Badgley. It's clearly been a position that they've been looking to improve. The fact that Bates got a two-year deal, and I know you can still cut the guy, but they were serious about bringing him into the fold. He missed one kick from less than 50 yards, and then we know about the leg. I'm going to go with Bates.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It makes you nervous.
Oh, it makes you unbelievably nervous.
Let's address the defensive secondary. Who plays where and what impact will the rookies have?
Yeah, the question is how many of these corners start? And I think the guy we keep forgetting about is Amik Robertson. who I think will get the nod early so they don't have to throw two young corners into the fire. You would think Terrion Arnold, being the first round guy, would start opposite Carlton Davis, and then Robertson is in the slot. It frees up Branch to be this extra defensive back. They've talked about him playing some safety. That's how I envision it. But Rakestraw's going to play. I mean, you draft a guy in the second round. I think what's more important isn't who starts week one. It's who starts week 19, the playoffs. And I think there's a chance that you see both Rakestraw and Arnold playing, starting at that point in the season.
Yeah, Carlton Davis, he's CB1. I think Kirby Joseph is going to be your free safety. I think Brian Branch is probably going to be your strong safety when he gets healthy. But they're also going to start the season and most games with five defensive backs.
Yep.
That leaves that, you know, and I think Terrion Arnold is one of them. Then it really comes down to Amik Robertson or Ennis Rakestraw. Who is going to be that extra defensive back that they're playing in that basic standard now nickel package? And here's what I like about Amik Robertson. He came in. Everything that you hear from him is that he is an absolute competitor. Everything you hear about him coming from the Raiders, they did not want to lose him. This, I think, is going to be a sneaky good pickup. And I think Amik Robertson has a coming out season.
The other thing, too, is the Lions want to play a lot of man-to-man defense. Yep. They got guys who embrace the one-on-one aspect. John, they might play matchups, though. Depending on the other team's receiver, Robertson might be the better option as compared to Rakestraw, but they could tailor it to those. It's like almost basketball, one-on-one. How do you get the guy who's the defensive stopper for the guy you're trying to shut down? I think that's going to be part of the chess game for Aaron Glenn this season.
Would definitely expect a Dan Campbell team to play man-to-man defense.
Man.
The question we've been asking for months now, maybe a year plus, who plays opposite Hutch?
So this one is really tough to fill in the blank because here are your options in first down situations. You got Marcus Davenport, who they went and signed on a one-year prove-it deal. You've got John Kaminsky. You've got Josh Pascal. Honestly, I don't trust that Marcus Davenport can stay healthy. That's the ideal situation, and he is the guy that could absolutely have a breakout season if, and it's a capital I, capital F, if he can stay healthy. I think it's going to be John Kaminsky that probably starts at that position. And then when you have, you know, Aaron Glenn and the fact that he likes to blitz, likes to change things up, James Houston will be there in pass rush downs. Maybe we see a little bit of Davenport, but I think Josh Pascal, this is a year where he has to show up, has to be a part of the equation.
When we first started doing this show in February, I would have loved to have answered this question, Danielle Hunter.
Oh, sure.
I think some people...
Insert anybody else's name.
Right. Or even a trade for a Matthew Judon. I don't think the Lions are going to make those kind of moves. They're going to roll with this group of, I guess, a bullpen's worth of pass rushers. I think Houston has the highest upside, so I'll go James Houston.
And our final topic today, who is your breakout candidate?
So there's a few guys I'm looking at on the defensive line for the Lions. I think it's kind of a put up or shut up year for some Holmes D linemen, whether that's Onwuzurike or Josh Pascal. Those are camp bodies I want to see take a step because it's now or never. But the breakout guy for me is Aleem McNeil. I think there's another gear of Aleem McNeil's game that we're going to see in a contract season.
Yep.
With Reader healthy up the middle next to him. I think it frees him up to put up better sack numbers, pressure numbers, and become that dominant interior defensive lineman.
If he is that guy, I think the question that we had previously, whether it's Davenport, Kaminsky, Pascal, Houston, it makes all of them better.
Yep.
Because DJ Reader will be an upgrade. Aleem McNeil, if he has that breakout contract season, will be better. Aiden Hutchinson, I expect to be better, which puts less pressure on whoever that is. But and I think that's a great pick. I'm going to go with Jack Campbell. Now, there's a lot of people that didn't think he had a great rookie season. I thought it was much better than most people are talking about. In year two at the middle linebacker position, or linebacker position, because I know he's going to be sharing time in there or playing next to Anzalone, I think we see all that athletic ability that we heard about in the draft, at the combine. He's tall. I saw him play at Iowa a couple of times, and he was an absolute force. He's a smart, heady player. I think he makes the adjustments. I think he adjusts to the speed of the NFL. They use him as a pass rusher. They use him covering running backs out of the backfield. This is a guy that I think is going to pay off big and have a big-time year.
This was not a guy who was existing because of effort alone, although he has great effort and instincts. he was a plus athlete when he came out of the draft. And I think you're right. Second season. That's Doug Karsh's guy, too.
Yeah.
You guys are big on Jack Campbell breakout second season.
Yeah. You got to love those Iowa guys.
Listen.
Who can't argue with Laporta? And if Campbell can be even close to what he was at Laporta as a rookie, it's going to be fun to watch.
Hey, they're tough football players at Iowa. All right. Did we miss any key storylines? Which one is the most interesting to you? J-Mo, Hendon Hooker, kicker competition, defensive secondary, pass rush, and your breakout candidate. You can answer any of them. Tell us what we missed. Lions back at training camp. Football returns. It's 97.1.